It is time right now for...
This is Senior Moments on KVON 1440.
Proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit. In collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley Project.
And this time around on our Senior Moments program, we are happy to welcome to the studio Allison Haley, the District Attorney for the County of Napa. Good morning. Welcome back. I don't have anything working on your microphone.
Oh.
There we go. Now it's on.
Am I there?
You did it.
Good morning.
You fixed it.
How are you?
All right. Good. Thanks for being here. So let's get right into it in terms of the connection to this focused program on senior topics. A lot of legal activity in the county will end up involving senior citizens. We talked briefly off the air about elder abuse cases, so you get involved in those. What would you say is the spectrum and maybe how many, what percentage of cases do involve seniors?
So we are only a few years away from having an astonishingly high percentage of our county's residents being over the age of 60. The district attorney's office right now, when I took over the office, I opened up a unit called the Vulnerable Victims Unit. And that unit is really, it's led by a deputy DA who is trained specifically to work with those victims that need a little bit of extra time and care. That attorney has a lowered caseload so that we can focus more on those vulnerable victims. And in that bucket of vulnerable victims go all of our elder abuse cases. And those elder abuse cases range from physical assaults on our citizenry who are over 60 years old to financial exploitation where there's someone that's in their lives, either a caretaker or a family member, or sometimes a straight-up scam, a stranger that's coming into their lives that is starting to siphon money from bank accounts, from estates, from trusts. We also have cases where children or friends, and I put invisible quotation marks around that word, are starting to move into their house. That senior citizen's house, and start relegating them maybe to the back bedroom. And those friends or those family members now have free run of the rest of the home, yet the homeowner that has worked for 40 years to own that home here in the Napa Valley is now relegated and is socially isolated and separated from having the full enjoyment of their property. So we're seeing the kind of elder abuse cases come in that are broad and varied. And frankly, we need some help at the district attorney's office to start meeting the needs not only of our senior citizens as survivors of crime, but also we need some help in that investigation piece of it. Because I'll tell you, right now, if someone were to break into my home and steal my bicycle, I can call patrol, I can call Napa Police Department, and we know how to work those cases. But if I called Napa Police Department, or in any police department, it's not on Napa Police Department, certainly not, but any law enforcement agency and said, you know what, I have a trust, and it's complicated, and it's varied, and there's trustees, and there's all of the, and I feel like there's some embezzlement happening. I feel like things are happening that are not going out with my consent. Maybe I consented to some things, but not all things. Those kinds of complicated questions and complicated issues are much harder to investigate, and it's become time that we're starting to need some help in those investigations.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's nothing more distasteful, I guess, than thinking about the fact that people take advantage of the most vulnerable people. And the vulnerability of older citizens is a big reason why all this happens, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Potential for confusion or, you know, not understanding paperwork or people coming to the door and everything from the simple scams that happen, the driveway paving and things like that, you know, on up to these very intrusive cases.
You've hit so many things right on the head. There's many times caregivers are family members. And maybe that senior citizen knows that that child is maybe making charges on their credit card that are not authorized, but they feel dependent and they feel protective, and it's their child. And you almost have those same dynamics that we traditionally see in a domestic violence case, where there's an unwillingness to cooperate with prosecution because of the affection between the parties. We're starting to see that in those elder abuse cases as well. There's also, and I should have mentioned too, there's also theft from our elders as it relates to their medication. So I remember having a case back when I was a line deputy where we had an offender who was stealing the senior citizen's shingles medication, their pain medication. Have you had shingles?
I have not.
I have. And it may have been the most painful experience. I would give natural labor every day for
wow.
the 4 weeks. I was in bed, completely in bed for 2 weeks,
oh
and then
gosh.
Another 2 weeks where I could only go to the office for half a day. And I'm not a pain medication person. I was jittery waiting for my next dose. It was so painful. I had it across my face and in my ear.
Mm.
That case, looking back, to steal their pain medication, sell it or use it themselves because they're addicts and have problems with addiction, and replace it with some Motrin or some Tylenol. Boy, that shows up in pretty stark relief to me now as someone who had gone through shingles. But we're seeing those cases as well where medications are being pulled by caregivers and, again, by family members. And that vulnerability, you hit it. My father-in-law, who has since passed, had Alzheimer's and was only really lucid kind of between 11 and 2. And when it started getting to be evening time, we started losing him and his ability to remember who we were, to remember where he was, what the circumstances was. And frankly, he started becoming scared later in the day,
yeah.
where he didn't know who these people were and he couldn't account for it, and he felt very alone and he didn't recognize his son, my husband, and we're constantly having to reintroduce ourselves. And so that person is painfully vulnerable to that kind of exploitation that I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in many of those cases, even when you find things out, there may be a reluctance to prosecute, to press charges,
sure.
because they're family members, and if I alienate them, who do I have left?
Exactly. That kind of social isolation, if there's going to be cooperation with the prosecution. So it really becomes incumbent upon our office to create dispositions in cases that both meet the needs of the survivor, yet have appropriate accountability and punishment for the defendant, and meet those other needs that may be present, substance abuse problems, the need for financial support. It really becomes important. You know, it used to be we were just tough on crime and we just put everyone in prison. And our clients, the people of the state of California, said, no, we need a much more nuanced approach. And each case needs to be looked at with that kind of deference towards tailoring it for that situation, and particularly as it relates to our elder abuse cases.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to define, you know, first of all, I think because of television largely, we think district attorney and we think about violent crime and criminal prosecutions of violent situations. That's part of it, but that's not most of it, is it, in a county like Napa?
No. So much of my job is about interacting with the public, educating the public about what we do and what we don't. I had people at my office very angry with me because I didn't take care of the Napa High School mascot. That was a large issue for our community, not understanding that I have nothing to do with it, not my jurisdiction. So a lot of education of the public. And now what I'm starting to look into, again, is how does the district attorney's office become more and more accountable to our survivors of crime? One of the things I know as it relates to elder abuse specifically is the current efforts that are underway for the creation of, and other communities call them a family justice center, and I don't know that we're going to call ours a family justice center, but really a new way of service provision to our survivors of crime for Napa County that is meaningful and accessible, particularly to our vulnerable populations.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a new way?
So now, if you are a victim, and let's just pull a domestic violence case, say, we really put those survivors on a scavenger hunt. your restraining order is over here. Your issues regarding your housing that may need to be replaced are over here somewhere in the county. There's news, and that's over on Perry Tree Lane, and there's Queen of the Valley, and that's up. You know, we really send them all over for all the services they need. If it's immigration services, if it's divorce attorney, if it's a restraining order, all of those things. And the new way of service provision is kind of like if you were to enter a hospital. If I entered the Queen of the Valley with a problem, boy, those people come to me. I stay in one spot. I tell my story one time about what's happening, and they bring the specialist to me. Taking that kind of model and applying it to survivors of crime, where you tell your story, which many times might be private or embarrassing, or issues that you don't want to necessarily let everyone know about, you tell that story one time rather than 80 times all the way through the county. You tell that story one time, and the navigator at a family justice center or at a resource center really designs and tailors all of the services that you need and brings them to that survivor. That's the new model.
Hmm. Yeah, and maybe or maybe not family justice center.
What we name it, I have no ego invested in it. I know that. So under the penal code, and I know what other county communities and here in California have, call it a family justice center. And under the penal code, it's really designed with four pillars: child sexual assault survivors, domestic violence survivors, human trafficking survivors, and what we're talking about today, which are elder abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. Those four pillars, they have, those needs have to be addressed. And we are now, I would say, only a few months away from being able to really start using that model here in Napa County. Mm-hmm.
So would it be a physical location?
So what we have done is Napa County has a child advocacy center. It's called the Courage Center, and it's on the first floor of Aldea, which is the building right across the street, so just north of the Napa Police Department. What we did is we applied the investigator part of we at the district attorney's office. We applied for money from the state, and we got it. And it's $400,000 over the next 2 years for an emerging family justice center. So we're taking some of that money, and we are renting more space in Aldea to make an interview room, so that if you are an elder abuse survivor and you need to come and tell police what happened to you, right now, you go to the police department, and the idea here is to bring them over to Aldea, to the Family Justice Center, whatever it is we end up calling it, having a soft interview room, meaning that it is not intimidating, it is comfortable, there's a cup of coffee if you need it, there is a detective that will be there, embedded within that Family Justice Center, so that your experience as a survivor is simply made a little bit easier, because it's so crucially important to me that I am not remembered as the first woman DA. I want my administration to be remembered for simply treating survivors of crime with the dignity that they deserve. And this is one step towards going there.
It particularly seems important, as we talked about, with the older population that may be shaken loose by experiences like this and confused at times and maybe not even having the energy to deal with, you know, everything that's happening, just wants it to go away and make it harder for them. And justice, I don't think, gets served when, you know, somebody's, worn out by the process.
Absolutely. Am I going to send out a 78-year-old woman on that scavenger hunt?
Right.
And let's add to it, maybe she's a caregiver of children. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's maybe she doesn't speak English. Maybe she's undocumented. Maybe she's LGBTQ. And telling these stories over and over and over again is an indignity that we can no longer countenance in this community. And creating a place that doesn't have that chilling effect. And I'm here to tell you, it's very likely, while we got the grant and we're a part of it, it's not DA run. It's not police run. It's not about you need to cooperate with the government or you're not going to be entitled to services. No, this is about, first and foremost, our responsibility and our accountability is to survivors of crime with a respect for whatever decision they make as they move forward. So I don't want it to have the feel of a DA run or a prosecution run or a police officer run. This is really about the public health issue that comes with issues like human trafficking and elder abuse.
Yeah. I want to talk briefly, if you can, about one specific scam that hits older people particularly. And I was thinking how, you know, there's so many ways to protect your home now, security systems, cameras. You can put bars on your windows. You can do all kinds of things for security. But the way a lot of crooks get to older people is the simple use of the phone.
Yep.
And they get a person on the phone. They pretend to be someone else. They make up stories. They do all kinds of things. It seems like that never ebbs. It's a constant supply of that phone scam going on, right?
Yeah. So my mom is 81 years old, and she got a phone call. She lives outside of Baltimore and received a phone call that she owed an IRS bill. Now, my mom is, she suffers from acute anxiety, and at times in her life has been a bit agoraphobic. And while she did not lose any money, I still consider her a victim of that crime because it is what she was terrified and frantic and obsessing over these phone calls that she was receiving. Her daughter's a DA. She doesn't think to call me. She doesn't think that that is a scam, because that's not been her life experience. And when you put our senior citizens, our 81-year-old residents, in that kind of abject anxiety about that they're coming after me and I'm not sure how I'm going to pay that quality of life diminishes. You're right. It's very hard to get our arms around. Many times those phone calls are coming offshore. Many times they're coming from out of state. It's very difficult for a local prosecutor's office to have an impact on those kinds of scams other than to alert people that they are out there. I know that federal prosecutors, AUSAs, have had some luck in sort of tracking down where that is and yanking it. But even at that level, very difficult to put our arms around.
Yeah, again, like you say, they're ghosts. They're, you know, out there someplace, but you can't put your finger on them.
Absolutely.
It bothers the heck out of me every time I hear those stories. And the other one about, it's your grandson, Johnny, and the scammers that can get people to believe they're a family member.
Absolutely. And it really doesn't take that much data mining to have enough information to sound credible on the phone, mm-hmm. as to who family members are or what might be the hook that catches that that vulnerable senior. One of the things I know that has been widely communicated to district attorneys as being effective is really educating the generation underneath them, right? So I'm 45 years old. My mom is 81. To educate my age group, maybe Gen Xers, right, on the scams and so forth, in the hope that we have those communications with our parents, with our grandparents, with our caregivers about the things that are going on. I have it out now. My phone is out. Many people of my generation are I don't know what I would do if I lost my phone, right? And so to continually use social media as a vehicle to continually educate my generation with the hope that you are going to share it has been effective in sort of getting that information out. But I can tell you, my mom right now, not sitting with her phone mm-hmm. out. It's not part of her day, and probably she's better for it.
And on that note, we have to wrap it up. We've run out of time. District Attorney Allison Haley, our guest on Senior Moments this week. Thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Experience matters. Calabria Hospice has been trusted in Napa County since we opened our doors 40 years ago. Our compassionate medical staff is always here for you day and night, every day of the year. As the only nonprofit hospice based in Napa, our focus is on caring for you and your family. Through illness, death, and grief, it's our honor to share your journey. Call us at 258-9080, Calabria Hospice.
Senior Moments was proudly brought to you by the Queen of the Valley Medical Center and Community Benefit in collaboration with Community Action of Napa Valley as a Leadership Napa Valley Project.
Hey, neighbor, I'm excited to...